You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
Well, a good chunk of my life has been spent worrying about money. When I was a kid, my mother was a single mother, and she had the difficult job of raising a family by herself. Four kids, mortgage, no car, a lot of worries, no job originally, no support from my father. And so that was my reality growing up, knowing that money was tight and that, you know, somehow God provided, but I didn't know exactly how, neither did my mother. Well, then I went to school, and when I went to school as a seminary student, one of the things that held me back is money. And I'd worked a whole year. I thought I would save money, but of course, you know, there were things to spend money on, and I could have done a better job. By the time it came time to go to school, I looked at the bills, and I looked at my bank account, and it simply didn't add up. And I talked to a friend of mine and said, what do I do? And he said, basically, you need to learn dependence on God. You need to learn that God will provide. Not to be irresponsible, budgeting is important, but you've got to be, you know, there's a certain level of stepping forward and trusting that somehow, if you're faithful, God will provide the way. More recently, we've been planting a church. And 10 years ago, I turned to Shar and said, how about we, up to that point, you know, I'd been climbing. There's no such thing as climbing in the pastoral thing, but I was at the point where we had she was working, and I was at the point where I was finally getting an okay income, not a rich income, but you know, we were getting by. And I remember trying to hire somebody, and they said, I gave them the salary package, and they said to me, you know, I've finally got to the point where I can take my kids to McDonald's and not worry about the money. And if I accept what you're offering, I can't do that anymore, and so I'm not coming. And I watched them walk away, and I got it, right? Who doesn't want to take their kids to, okay, maybe not McDonald's, but at least the McDonald's budget, right? Who doesn't want McDonald's budget, at least? And so I said to Shar, like, what if we left that comfortable income where maybe we can squeeze in a McDonald's meal once in a while? And what if we plant a church and there's no income, we have to kind of hustle and make it ourselves and make it work? And Shar thought about it, and she said, after some prayer, let's do it. I said, what if it's harder than you think? She said, let's do it. What if it's slower than you think? Let's do it. Well, I remember one time when the money was tight. And I mean, our personal bank account was overdrawn. The reason why our personal bank account was overdrawn is because I had a paycheck there from the church, but I couldn't cash it. So the church owed me money for work that I had done, but there was no money in the church bank account. And so I had a paycheck to myself that I couldn't pay. My bank account was overdrawn. I also had a tithe check on income that I hadn't yet gotten from the church because I couldn't cash the check. It was sort of a chicken and egg thing, right? It's like the church has no money, in part because I can't give the tithe, but you know, the church doesn't have money to pay me my salary, so it's, and I know my tithe wouldn't have covered my paycheck anyway, but I remember going, just feeling so desperate. I had been hustling. I'd been raising money for the church. I'd been doing everything I could. And I got together with lunch with a funder and said to him, could you give us money? We need it. Well, he was working for, anybody remember BlackBerry back in those days? And it was right around the time that BlackBerry tanked. And so I had lunch with him, and he says, I can't. I'm scaling back my donations, and I have nothing to give you. But good to see you. How are you? And I walked away feeling so discouraged, because this guy in the old days could have cut a check that could have put us back in the black. And on the way home, I stopped at the Shoppers Drug Mart on the Queensway over by Park Lawn there, where our P.O. Box used to be way back in the day. And I stopped in there, and there I opened the P.O. Box, and there was a letter from a church in Pembroke. You know the church. This church had, I'd never spoken there. The pastor had, I'd seen him, and he's like, hey, like, cool church, what you're doing, like, excited for you, praying for you and everything. But that was it, which literally means they're praying for us, maybe, nothing more. But that day, I opened the P.O. box, and there was a check that was one of the biggest donations we've ever received as a church. And I sat there, stood there in Shoppers Drug Mart by the post office in tears. And people were wondering, like, who is this crying guy in the P.O. box? And there again was another example of God providing for us. I find out later that, you know, that we had somehow we had made their missions budget for the year, their mission, they had a missions conference. And without me even knowing, they said, we need to support this church in Liberty Village. And a lady stood up, a little old lady, and, you know, she rose to her feet, and she's like, I have something to say about this. And so, like, okay. And she said, I used to live at King and Dufferin. I know Liberty Village. I know the need there. We need to get behind this church plant. We need to give them everything we can. So please give sacrificially. And that was just an example of God providing for us once again. Well, more recently, our mortgage is coming up for renewal. This is a bad time to renew your mortgage. It feels like I'm just telling you a little bit of my story. It feels like we're on this endless cycle of being concerned about money. If you don't have a lot of money, you know what it's like to worry about money, and that's most of us. People always say Liberty Village is affluent, and I always say, no, you're wrong. Liberty Village is expensive, it's not affluent. Some people are affluent here, but a lot of people are just scraping by trying to pay the rent. So a lot of us know what it's like to worry about what if mortgage rates do go up? What if my landlord raises the rent? What if I get kicked out of my apartment and I have to find a new condo to rent? We understand that. Some of us are a little bit ahead of that. We might employ other people. And you know what it's like to lie awake at night worrying about the payroll, that not only do you have to provide for your needs, but now you've got other people's families and they have a baby and you're like, yay, that's exciting. And you're kind of in your head like, more responsibility. Like, I got to meet payroll so that they can, you know, the last thing I want to do is to lay them off. But some of you have, well, actually, I don't know if anybody has this problem. Some of you might secretly be rich and you might have money socked away that you're comfortable, you're okay. But even you have to worry about money because you've got to make sure that you got a return on the money. You got to make sure that it's being cared for properly, that it's going to last, that you're doing the estate planning. In other words, it doesn't matter if you have a little or a lot. Money is something that concerns all of us. And that's why in this prayer, Jesus gets around to the topic of money pretty quickly because it's relevant to all of us. And Jesus says this is how you should pray. And he gives us these petitions. He begins with God the Father. And I love that. Okay, our Father in heaven. Father, meaning he cares for us. We're in relationship with him. He loves us. In heaven, meaning he's powerful. He's not like some, good Father, we just sang that. God loves us. But he's not some good Father who's like powerless. He's in heaven. He's in control of the world. He cares for you. He loves you like a father, and he runs everything. So we're in pretty good shape. And then he gives us three petitions, basically to pray for his agenda in the world. And I think the reason he does that is because we're so quick to run to our agenda. By the way, since preaching that the other week, Shar and I pray together every morning. And usually I start, and then we kind of go back and forth. And I've noticed the past few weeks, Shar's been very quick to lean into God's agenda in our prayer. So I'll pray, Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for another sunny day that we're outside. Thank you for this coffee, thank you. And then Shar's turn, she's like, Lord, and she begins to pray for God's agenda. And every time she does that, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm so quick to go to thank you for this, but Shar's reminding me what Jesus says. Don't forget to pray about the big picture, the story of what God is doing in this world. Begin praying there. But then he goes down and he teaches us to pray for our needs. And so we get to the first petition about us. And where does Jesus begin? With our needs. Because Jesus knows what's the first thing we pray about? What's the first thing that we're worried about? Having enough to live on. You know, paying the rent, paying the mortgage, paying the bills, paying the payroll. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. And we see this. Jesus teaches us that God cares about our needs. We can come to God with our needs because he knows we're concerned with having enough to get by. He cares for his children, including our physical needs too. And so I just have a few lessons from this simple prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Just a few lessons Here they are, very simple. Number one, God really cares about you and your needs. God really does care about you and your needs. I mean, why else would Jesus say, come to your heavenly Father and pray about your needs? Because God actually really does care. You know, I read a book about the presidents of the United States. It was really good. Goes, I think, all the way back from like pre-World War II all the way up to, I think it was Obama. And it was interesting, every one of the presidents before taking office, when they came into the office, walked into the Oval Office for the first time, they had this sense of overwhelming responsibility. Except for JFK, actually. JFK was the only one who thought he could handle it. But everybody else got into the Oval Office and was immediately overwhelmed with, like, who can do this job? It's impossible. I want you to think about that, how overwhelming it would be to be president of the United States. Now think about God. God is not in control of just one country or one branch of government of one country. God is in control of the entire universe. Now, he's in control of the 2 trillion galaxies that exist in the world. And God is not some absentee watchmaker. God didn't just wind the clock and say, okay, nature, take over here. Like, I'm going to be over there napping while, like, nature just runs its course. God is actually very involved with this world. We're going to look at Colossians later this year, and it says that Jesus is actually upholding the whole universe by his power. So it's not some passive thing where it's like he spins the top and then goes somewhere else. He's in charge of everything, right down to the smallest amoeba. He's in charge of all of history. He's running the entire universe. But here's the thing, he cares about you. He is so powerful that while he's running everything, he actually cares about you and me and our little needs. In verse 8 of Matthew 6, before this prayer, Jesus actually says, do not be like them, the people who are trying to impress God with their prayers, for your Father already knows what you need before you ask him. Doesn't that amaze you? Before you even come to God in prayer, God is already like, okay, Woody, I know exactly what you need. I want you to tell me anyways, but I got it. Like, Woody, I know everything you need. I knew what you need before you even knew what you needed. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, is this not one of the most wonderful things in the whole of Scripture? That the God who is the creator and sustainer of the universe, the God who is forming his eternal kingdom, and who will usher it in the end, the God to whom nations are as the small dust of the balance, as Isaiah 40 says, that such a God should be prepared to consider your little needs and mine, even down to the minutest details in this matter of daily bread. But that is a teaching of our Lord everywhere. Friends, God cares about your needs. God cares about your rent. God cares about your grocery bill. You know, amazingly, you think God is so busy, right? God cares about the price of, food in the supermarket. God cares about all of this. God cares about, God is very close to the mother who has a lot of mouths to feed and doesn't know how she's going to make that dollar stretch. God is concerned about the person who doesn't know quite how they're going to continue to live or in Liberty Village. God cares about those needs. He might be running the entire galaxy, but he cares for you as well. 1 Peter 5:7, I never get over this. Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he might exalt you. And then this is a part that amazes me, casting all your anxieties on him. As one of my friends says, what do you do when you cast something? You let go of it, right? If you're going to cast something, you don't hold on to it. Like any of you who tries to throw a football and you're holding on to the football, you're supposed to release it. And so this passage says, let go. Cast them on God. Let go of them. Because he cares for you. That's the part that gets me, because he cares for you. Can you imagine that? The God of this universe cares for you. He cares for you and what you're going through. He knows your worries. He knows your heartaches. He knows your worries about retirement. He knows the state of your RSP. He knows if you don't have an RSP. God cares about it all, and he cares about it. Because it matters to you, it matters to him. He's very aware of what's going on in your life. Nothing has escaped his notice. And he wants you to come to him with your needs because he really does care for you. And so whenever you feel stress about your finances, start here. Know that when you come to God, you're not bothering him. God's not like, I have better things to do, like, don't leave me alone. God really does care about you and your needs, what's on your mind. Whatever you're worried about, you can bring to him. Okay, lesson number two. God is the source of everything that we have. God is the source of everything that we have. My grandson is abounding in cuteness, and these days chaos. So I've learned the two go together, chaotic cuteness, right? That's what it is. And this week we spent some time with him, and we noticed that when you plonk him down at the table, I don't think they call it plonking, but that's what I call it. Like, I think his mothers would, you know, like Christy would say, I don't plonk. Like, I place him, right? But anyway, when he's plonked down at the table, he wants to be fed. And it's like, okay, you can't say, you know, the waiter will be around in 5-10 minutes. He's like, I want it now. I want it right now. But the reason why he's like that is because he knows where the food comes from. He knows that if I sort of start to go, eh, and point at food, that somebody's there who's going to say, oh, you want food, here you go, and it'll keep you quiet. In other words, he's able to ask for what he wants because he knows the source of where it comes from. Now, why does Jesus teach us to say to God, give us this day our daily bread? Well, we think that we are the source of our daily bread. We think that it's our hard work, it's our industriousness, it's our skill, it's our jobs that provides the food. But what Jesus is doing here is he's saying, I want you to remember today, where does your daily bread actually come from? It doesn't come from your own work. God uses means. So yes, God uses a means of your work to give you your food. God, if you're in a position of relying on somebody else right now to who earns an income, that's a means God uses. But where does it ultimately come from? It comes from God himself. A lot of what we have comes indirectly through our own efforts, but actually there's more of life beyond our control, and it actually ultimately all comes from God. And so that's why Jesus says, I want you to learn this habit of dependence upon God. You need to recognize God is the source of all that you have. You can outgrow your dependence on your parents, but we never outgrow our dependence on God. He is the source of everything that we have. And by the way, this motivates our generosity. I'll never forget the story a parent told of buying his kid fries at McDonald's. And so you know what you do? You give your kid the fries at McDonald's. And it's just like, it's called the parent tax, right? Like, you go in, you take a fry, and you eat it. And what does the kid do? Ah! Like, what are you doing? Those are my fries. And it's like, who gave you those fries? Like, who could go to the counter and buy so many fries that you could be drowning in fries right now? Like, and you're complaining that I'm taking one of your fries when I'm the source of your fries, and I could give you like unlimited fries. You know, it's such a picture of us with God, right? Our generosity, our giving to God is really a way of, God doesn't need it. It's a means of actually training our hearts to worship and treasure him and love him. And when we give to God, we're giving back to the one who gave it to us in the first place, who owns everything. And so our giving is never actually really doing anything more than giving God something that he already gave us and he could give us much more of. It's a way of teaching us dependence upon him. And that's why Jesus wants us to see God as a source of everything. Paul teaches us, what do you have that you did not receive? Or James teaches us, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Everything we have, your marriage, your children, your house, your condo, your food, your clothing, your job, your leisure, your strength, your intelligence, your friendship, your whatever, your car, your anything. It's all from God. You deserve none of it. I deserve none of it. It's a gift. Everything we have is a gift from God. And so never outgrow your dependency on God. If you have a lot of money, realize it could all disappear. You don't have to worry because God is a source. You're relying on God. You're not relying on your bank account. You're not relying on your job. You're not relying on your skills. God is a source. And that's why we come to him daily and say, Lord, you know what I need. You care. Provide it because I recognize you as the source of everything that I have. Lesson three, and this one's powerful. This one hit me. God wants us to learn to trust him a day at a time. God wants us to learn how to trust him a day at a time. You notice what Jesus says here? Give us what? This day. You know what I want to say? Lord, give us this year, or it would be really nice, God, give us this decade, or God, like, set me up for life. An endowment fund would be really nice. You know, with guaranteed returns, you know what, I can just go and draw it down. But it's interesting, he says, give us this day. In the Greek, it's not a common phrase. It's one of the only times it's used in Greek literature. It actually means of the day that is coming. Reflects a culture in which people really lived hand to mouth. They ate that day, that day's income. So they would go to work, they'd get paid, they'd be like, I'll take my pay, I'll go buy enough food for today, I'll pay a few bills, but it's not like, I'm not going to the bank and making a big, you know, there's no like pre-authorized, it's like, each day, I get what I need for that day, and that's it. They lived hand to mouth, they really couldn't save, and Jesus says, Jesus is at least reflecting that and saying, learn to rely on God day by day. We don't need to pray for the day after tomorrow quite yet. Pray for tomorrow's needs. Just pray for what you need as you get it. I love that Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. As Kent Hughes says, God calls us to pray for bread. That is the necessities of life, whether large or small, those things that are necessary for the life and health and well-being of ourselves and our families. We're to pray for bread, not dessert. Now, listen, God is generous. One thing I've learned about God is God gives us more than our bread. God is incredibly generous. Shar and I were sitting, we were joking about vacation. I spent a week, actually it was like a week speaking at a camp, but it was like so little work. And it was just like, we were just basking. I took the week off here and I spoke an hour a day and 23 hours a day, we were just sitting on the dock and eating ice cream and we're looking around there, like literally, it was a week of sitting on a dock and eating ice cream and working an hour a day. And we're sitting in Prince Edward County just saying, at the beginning of this year, we tried to get into Sandbanks and we couldn't get into Sandbanks. And it's like, okay, we're not meant to go to Sandbanks. And then I get called from these people, like, would you come to speak? And we're right, like literally, our campground is, you look at Sandbanks right from the campground. And not only will you come, like, we're not gonna charge you to come. We're going to pay your room. We're going to feed you. You're going to work an hour a day, and you're going to have the rest of the time to yourself, and you're going to have like a paid vacation that's going to help pay for your next vacation. Would you come? Well, we prayed about it, and it's like we sense God might be calling us to do this. God is generous, friends. I don't know what it is. God, like, pray for your needs, but understand, don't ask for more than your needs, but understand that God just might, like, isn't God good? Look at this weather today. Is not God good? Look at the people around here. I look at the quality of the people in this room. Is not God good? Like, I need you. I really do. God has gone far beyond my needs and has blessed me with amazing people here. He's given me more than I need. I look at my wife every day, and God gave me way more than I deserved. God is generous, but Jesus teaches us here, pray for bread. Pray for necessities, understanding that God just might give you more than that. But don't get greedy. Pray for your needs. Well, why do we need to pray day by day? One preacher put it this way. We want God to give us in one lump sum and then go and draw on that. But a father knows that if a father has a child and says, you know, you're going to university, like, here's, what do you need this year? Like, I'll write you a check, $30,000, go, right? What's going to happen? Like, see you, Dad, see you Christmas, right? Maybe Easter if I get busy. But if a father says, you know what, like, here's a check for, what do you need, for books? Here's a check for books. Here's a check for, you know, to help with tuition or whatever. What's that child going to do? The child's going to say, hey, Dad, I won't see you at Easter. See you in a week. And I'm going to come to you and say, Dad, you're like, let me tell you what's going on at school. Like, I got this bill. Like, could you help me? And the preacher says, it might be that God knows something about us here. If God gave us all of his glorious gifts in one lump sum, we would be in danger of just taking the gift and forgetting all about God. But God wants us to come to him as Father. He's like an earthly father who's grievously wounded by a son who's content to enjoy the gift the father has given him, but who never seeks his company until he's exhausted his supplies and needs some more. No, the father likes a child to come and speak to him, and this is God's way of doing it. It's almost like God has put a great deposit in the bank, but the son has to come to the father every time to draw on that balance by writing a check. Every time we come to God, it's essentially saying to God, I know you put it aside for me already, but I'm coming to acknowledge my dependence on you. Father, would you give me what I need today? Would you give me what I need for tomorrow? I'm coming to you in dependence. I don't want to be independent from you. Just give me what I need every single day. And the preacher concludes, that is prayer, presenting our check to God, going to him and asking him to honor it. And so friends, the reason why I think a lot of us don't have more money than we have, perhaps, is not because God is stingy. It's because God wants to teach us dependence on him. It's that God wants us to teach us the daily discipline of depending on him. He will come through. I wish my mother were here. She could tell you stories of raising four kids with hardly any money, you know, and I mean, I'm not going to get distracted. I could go off on a tangent here. She has no idea how she made it work. Like, she made way more money later with no dependents, and she could barely make it work. But somehow with four kids, somehow it was almost like God stretched it. God will provide for your needs, but he intends for us to come daily and say, God, I need you another day. Tomorrow's needs, would you give me what I need tomorrow? I'm coming to you again, and the Father delights in you coming. He never gets tired of it. He never gets tired of you coming. He wants you to come, and he wants you to tell him what you need because he loves to provide it. God cares. God is the source. God wants us to learn daily dependence on him. In lesson four, I'm going to give you four and then 4A. I'm just going to add a half of one. We depend on God not only for our physical needs, but our spiritual needs too. Now here I'm interpolating a little bit. I don't think it's unreasonable. If God cares for your physical needs, he cares about a lot more than for your physical needs. You know, my grandson, the fact that the parents are willing to sit there and listening, you know, change diapers and feed and lose sleep, it's not because they just care about his physical needs. They care about him. And here God is really teaching us, I care about you, all of you. I care about your physical needs, but I care about everything, including your spiritual needs. It's so interesting that Jesus gave us a meal as a way of remembering what he did. And I think what Jesus was teaching us here is, well, as he said in Matthew 4, when he was tempted by the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus realizes we need more than bread, physical bread. We need the bread of life. We need God. And he cares about that. We need the bread of life. John 6:35, Jesus calls himself the bread of life. I love what Kevin DeYoung says. Praying for daily bread means asking God for all the things necessary for life and godliness. Jesus would have us see that we can't live without bread, and we can't live without the Bible for very long either. Don't just give us this earthly bread. Give us the bread that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus is emphatic in his ministry. There's better bread out there, that we should seek the heavenly bread that can feed us not just for a day, but for all eternity. When we pray the Lord's Prayer and come to this petition day after day, our heart should be singing that simple song, Give Me Jesus. Ultimately, this prayer is saying, God, meet our needs. And what greater need do we have than our spiritual need? You know, if food keeps us filled for a day, I eat way too much. If I go to a nice restaurant and I come home, I'm like, I can't eat for a week. And then the next morning, I'm like, I'm famished. Like, you know, bread will only satisfy for a short while. He knows what we need. He knows we need something that will satisfy us for eternity. And he satisfied that need by giving us the gracious gift of his son so that we could find everything we need in him. And one of the things we do as the church week after week is remind us that this bread is available for anybody who wants it. As Isaiah says, come, you have no money, eat, you know, drink the choicest of wine. The invitation is to come, simply receive from God everything you need. Well, I said there'd be a 4A, like, let me just sneak in at like a half point. You notice that we say, give us our day, this daily bread. This isn't an individual prayer just for you. We're actually praying not just for ourselves individually, we're praying for each other. Ultimately, we're praying for the world. We live in a world of great need, and we're praying, God, don't just meet my needs. You know the needs of my brothers and sisters in the church. You know the need of the world, those who are starving in Africa. There's a food shortage going on. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Friends, I don't know where you stand with money. I said most of my life has been spent a little bit worried about money. We're all concerned, ultimately, about money. But God cares for your needs. God cares for your needs. He cares for you. He wants you to come to him, to trust him one day at a time. Come to him with everything you need. And know that as you do, he's glad to see you because he really does care for you. And so, Lord, this is such a practical prayer. We come. We realize we need you. Father, for some of us, this is a very relevant prayer right now. A lot of us are worried about inflation and rates going up and maybe lack of secure work. We come to you. Provide our daily bread. Lord, certainly as a church, we feel the cost of this building and our bills have gone way up this year. And Lord, give us tomorrow what we need. We're not gonna pray for months from now or years from now. We just pray, Lord, on a daily basis, would you teach us reliance? Lord, Nathan and Elaine are going to plant a church. In a few years, they're gonna come back with stories of your miraculous provision, of how they were scraping their last pennies together and they went to the mail and there was a check from a church that they didn't even know was gonna give to them. Lord, give them their daily bread. Give them what they need to accomplish the mission that you've given them. Lord, whatever it is, we come to you. Thank you that you care for us. Thank you that you never turn a deaf ear to our needs. You never say, I've got bigger things to worry about. Lord, you welcome us to come. And so we come to you today. Teach us to rely on you. And Lord, lastly, thank you for being so generous to us. Thank you that we have so many stories of provision. You've been so good. We just praise you, Lord, for the fact that you're a good father. Your heart is to be kind to your children. We thank you most of all for Jesus, who gave us the greatest gift possible. Lord, who came, who loves us so much that he gave his life for us. And so, Lord, we praise you that you are a great God. We give you the praise in Jesus' name.